Good morning. Today we begin a new series called The Gifts of God. If you're familiar with the communion prayer that we use in our services, you probably completed that phrase in your mind. The gifts of God for the people of God. This series is built on the premise that God is immensely generous, the giver of every good gift, and that the best way to enjoy those gifts, the way that they most satisfy us, is when we use them for the sake of the kingdom of God. Now, that's a loaded statement, so let me explain. In his letter, the Apostle James affirms that every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. Out of his goodness and love, God generously gives. He gives us every good thing. And every perfect gift is fairly comprehensive. Think of all the good things we experience in life. We could start with life itself, breathing, sleep, I'm clearly middle-aged with teenagers, family, food, especially barbecue, football, Roll Tide, basketball, rock chalk, fish, fishing, friends, finances, freedom, and forgiveness, just to name a few. And for what purpose does God shower us with his good gifts? You might be surprised by the Bible's answer. God gives us gifts so that we can enjoy them. That's what Paul writes in 1 Timothy. God generously gives us everything for our enjoyment. For our enjoyment? Really? God is not stingy, nor is he the old man in the sky who doesn't want anyone to have fun. He takes great delight in giving us good things so we can enjoy them. And you might be thinking, yeah, but what's the catch? There's got to be more to this than our fun. Well, there isn't any catch, but if you suspect that there's something deeper going on, you'd be right. Not only does God give us good things for our enjoyment, but he also desires that we will put those good gifts to work for the sake of his kingdom. With Jesus, we know this is his end game. His end game is the kingdom of God. His ultimate plan is to bring God's rule and reign to earth as it is in heaven. Jesus inaugurated his kingdom project by coming to earth, taking on human flesh and living among us, giving himself for the sins of the world, and rising again to life on the third day. He inaugurated it and promises to come again someday and bring it all to a good and glorious conclusion. And in the meantime, Jesus has passed the baton to us, his people, the church, so that we might advance, gain territory, if you will, for the kingdom. From that perspective, God gives us good gifts so that we can put them to use for his kingdom. That's essentially what Jesus teaches in our gospel reading for today. It's Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. Jesus got the kingdom project launched, but then he entrusted it, his property, to us, his servants. And his promise is that someday he will return and settle up the accounts. And what does that mean? What does he want to receive when he returns? He wants to receive an increase. He's entrusted us with his property. He gives us talents, all of his good gifts, and he desires that they be put to work and increased for his kingdom. You may be thinking, well, now wait a minute. You said that God gives us everything to enjoy. Yes, he does. But God also knows that the greatest joy in life, the greatest satisfaction, comes when we give ourselves away in service to his kingdom. It's not a bait and switch. God does give us everything to enjoy, and he knows that the greatest joy comes from multiplying his good gifts for the sake of his kingdom. Remember Jesus' words, "For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." That's the same idea. Do you want life? Do you really want to enjoy life in all of its fullness? If so, the way to do it is by taking all the good gifts God has given us and putting them to use for his sake. That's what this series is all about. Each week, we'll look at a good gift God has given us and think about how we can enjoy it by stewarding or using it for God's kingdom purposes. And today we want to think about perhaps one of the most astonishing gifts God could ever give, the gift of Himself, God, the Holy Spirit. Peter, preaching on Pentecost, says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now, this was a revolutionary message. And if we want to understand it, we have to back up for a minute and think about the Old Testament. Following their exodus from Israel, God directed His people to build a temple that would be His dwelling place. He would dwell there by His Spirit, and His people then could be aware of His presence in their midst. All Israel was aware of God's presence, but in reality, only a very few were allowed direct access to God in the temple. In fact, only the high priest was allowed in the inner sanctuary, the Holy of Holies, once a year. But remember when Jesus was on the cross, and the veil in the temple separating off the Holy of Holies was torn in two from top to bottom. This was a highly significant and symbolic event. It meant that the Spirit of God had been loosed on the earth and available to all who call upon the Lord Jesus. And so now, when we call upon the Lord, putting our trust in Jesus, the Spirit of God takes up residence in us. In other words, we are the new temples, the new dwelling places of God. I don't think Paul could have put it more plainly. He writes, "Do you know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you?" But what's the point? How does this gift of God's indwelling Spirit intersect with the kingdom of God? Now, here is the most basic level of intersection, the most essential or basic element of the kingdom is relationship, intimacy with God. In other words, the whole kingdom project is about, first and foremost, restoring humankind's relationship with God. That's what it is at its very essence. Remember, way back at the beginning of the Bible, how Adam and Eve, they were in the garden with God, walking and talking together. They were in relationship. That relationship, we know, was broken in the fall. But now Jesus has launched the kingdom project, which is all founded upon reestablishing that relationship with God. God gives us the gift of His Spirit at the most fundamental level so that we can be in that relationship. Think how much easier it is to be in relationship with God who is near, so near as to be in us, as opposed to a God who is distant or far off. So that's the gift, the presence of God within us. Now let's turn our attention to the question of stewardship. And I want to just pause for a moment here and think about this, because I'm about to pose a question that's going to sound really strange. It's going to sound odd. And the question is, how do we steward or manage the gift of God's Spirit for the benefit of His kingdom? Now, that sounds weird, because how do we manage or steward the Holy Spirit? But it's just a way of saying, what are we going to do with this great gift we've been given? How are we going to use this gift, the gift of God's Spirit, to benefit the kingdom of God? Well, if the most fundamental aspect of life in the kingdom is right relationship with God, and the Spirit brings that relationship, then the answer is pretty clear. The best way we can steward the amazing gift of the Spirit is by strengthening and growing our relationship with Him. Relationship with God, the Holy Spirit, who dwells in us, is the foundation upon which everything else in the kingdom life is built. So the more we grow that relationship, the more we increase our capacity for kingdom work. How can we grow in our relationship with God, the Holy Spirit, who lives in us? Well, there are many answers to that question, but perhaps the most basic one is prayer. We grow or we strengthen our relationship with God, the Holy Spirit, as we converse with Him. And what do we call that? We call it prayer. Now, this is a paraphrase from Nikki Gumbel's Alpha Talk, How and Why Do I Pray? He says the heart of Christianity is a relationship with God. Therefore, prayer or conversing with God is central to expressing that relationship. Prayer is a primary way that we grow in relationship with God. And this makes sense, as it's hard to have a healthy relationship with someone who never talks. Just ask Stephanie. In prayer, we learn to converse with God, to both speak and to listen. And even though it sounds simple, we know that it isn't necessarily as simple as it sounds. Learning to converse with someone who is close, who is right there, who already knows what's on your heart and mind before it ever reaches your lips, but you can't see or touch or hear that person with your natural senses. Learning to pray in that kind of context is not as easy as we may think. And for me, I've never thought prayer was easy. It's always been a challenge for me in a way that other spiritual disciplines have not been. I've been heartened by the disciple who asked, Lord, teach us to pray. And the apostle Paul who said that we do not know how to pray as we ought. Prayer doesn't always come easy. It's something we need to learn, and we need to learn so that we can converse with God, growing our relationship, which is the foundation for life in the kingdom of God. So I want to conclude by teaching you a basic pattern or form for prayer that can be a help in learning to converse with God, the Holy Spirit. This is the first way that I ever learned to pray, and it's the same way that Nikki first taught prayer on the Alpha Course. It's a simple acronym called ACTS, A-C-T-S. The A is for adoration. We adore or praise God. If you don't know what this is, the best way to understand is to read the Psalms, which are full of praises to God. Let's go back and think about Psalm 100. An example of praise. The psalmist writes, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. The C is for confession. We confess our sins, the things we have done and those we have left undone. Forgive us our trespasses. The T is for thanksgiving. We thank God for all the good things in our lives, even the challenging times that God promises to use for our good, to develop our character. And the S is for supplication, which simply means we ask God for our needs and for the needs of others. Perhaps you will find this model or structure for prayer helpful. I know that many, many people have over the years. And much of that model you will find directly in the Lord's Prayer, which was Jesus' response to the disciple who wanted to learn how to pray. Now, I want to conclude with three opportunities that I want to commend to you for prayer, because prayer is something that we need to practice. The more we converse with God, the Holy Spirit, the easier and more natural it becomes. In that sense, it's not all that different from learning to converse with another person. The more we open up and share, the easier or less awkward it becomes over time. And we grow closer together. So it's important not just to learn the how-to of prayer, but also to actually start praying. So I want you to know about three ways you can start praying. And by doing so, growing in your relationship with God, the Holy Spirit. We often ask the question, how can we all commit to the vision God has given us? And our answer is pray, serve, and give. Prayer is the starting place for committing to the vision God has given us. There are two ways I want to encourage you to pray and to pray for our church's vision. One, we will begin sending out a weekly prayer request as part of our email that regularly goes out. You know, maybe we're doing something related to the vision, like we're trying to fill backpacks for kids at Mission Adelante, or whatever. You can imagine different things. And so the prayer that might come out that week would be to encourage people to pray for that event. You know, every week we'll include in the email a prayer request related to our Kingdom Project work. Now, the second way to pray for the vision is at our prayer and worship gathering on October 17th at 7 p.m. And it's really very simple. We gather, we worship, and pray. Nick Comiskey leads that time. And if at all possible, I encourage you to set that time aside and to be there. We really need to see a bunch of people gathering to pray for our vision. It's really something that the more people that we see coming to attend prayer for our vision, the more it will be a sign to us that we're really getting it and that we're understanding the importance of prayer as the foundation for all the kingdom work that we do. I said that there were three prayer opportunities. Two of those are focused on prayer for our vision, but the final one is even more basic, for just daily devotional prayer. The Book of Common Prayer has some excellent patterns for daily devotion that I find helpful in my own life. There are four templates for these daily devotions: morning, noon, early evening, and bedtime. So there's one for every schedule and every type of person. I mean, you might say, well, I'm not a morning person. Well, okay, well, there's one at noon, there's one at bedtime. So there's one for everybody. Now, this is all still in development, but we are working on how to best format these devotionals and also how to best deliver them to you. But the goal is that in the near future, we will be able to provide for everyone who would like to. You have to sign up. We don't want to clutter your inbox if it's something that you don't want, something that would not be helpful to you. But if it is something that would bless you, that would help you in your devotional life, help you to pray on a more regular basis, we want to be able to deliver these devotions to you. So there will be more information about this as we go forward. We would like for there to also be a scripture piece in this devotion that would be tied thematically to the sermon from the previous Sunday. We also would like to incorporate the Acts format that I just talked about. We'd like to be able to display that in the devotional for prayer. I would hope that these devotions, the goal would be that they would be easily done by an individual or by small groups or families. The bottom line in all of this is we want people to pray, not just know how to pray, but to actually do it. Prayer is the most fundamental way that we commit to our Kingdom Project vision, because everything in His kingdom is built upon the foundation of relationship with God, the Holy Spirit. It's only as we grow in Him that we are animated, enlivened, and empowered to do His kingdom work.